The Word of God in the Life and Mission of the Church. That's the theme of the three-week Synod of Bishops going on here in the Vatican, with church leaders and experts from countries right around the globe sharing their experiences, their hopes, and their often very serious concerns. Through formal talks and informal discussions in the presence of Pope Benedict, the bishops are exploring what the Word of God is, much more than just a best-selling book, how it's passed on in written, spoken or dramatised form, and what are some of the most serious obstacles, from poor preaching to anti-Christian violence or simply absolute indifference in our more secular societies.
We haven't impacted the world of culture, and the scientific world and the intellectual world in the universities is quite often culturally a product of the Enlightenment and therefore deliberately anti-Christian. Religious and specifically anti-Catholic.
Cardinal Francis George of Chicago is president of the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference and one of five American bishops taking part in this synod. During a break between sessions, he told me more about his concerns over the way that a loss of biblical images in art and culture has in many places reduced scripture to little more than a kind of embarrassing fantasy world.
Because the world of active spirit has more or less disappeared from our culture, except to talk about psychological realities. The scriptural world, which is full of active spirits, angels and demons and God himself, is easily lampooned, and it is, which creates then a certain embarrassment for believers, and at best then Holy Scripture becomes a moral book, and even that is judged to be inadequate by the enlightened morals of our society.
What sort of solutions are you proposing to this? Is it a question of re-evangelizing art and culture to a certain extent?
Well, certainly that's the heart of it. The question is, how do you do that? There was a literary Catholic revival, I believe, in England in the 20s and 30s, and some marvelous authors are still read, but who are their successors? What I tried to do also was to say, in the conversion of intellect, not just of the imagination, but the conversion of intellect, there is a very strong relationship between the credibility of the teachers, the hierarchy, and the consistency of the biblical books themselves. I made reference to St. Irenaeus of Lyon's Regula Fidei, which is important for the pastors because it's important for understanding Holy Scripture as a whole.
Are you saying there's need for a much better education and training of everybody from the priests right through to the highest level of bishops and the hierarchy?
Oh, there's always that. But the type of education I think we need is to be able to draw the connections among the books of Scripture so that we can see the entire Bible as witness to God's actions in history to save his people from their sins, and also to bring us to a level of perfection in the redemption that wasn't given our first parents in the creation. That kind of marvelous story has to be the context in which conversion of imagination, intellect, will takes place. So education has to help us to see things whole, and that's difficult in an intellectual world of specializations where I think the attempt to see things whole has been more or less given up by philosophers and by others as well as by the scientists themselves. Although you have a search for unified field theory in physics, that's the one discipline, paradoxically, that at the beginning of the modern age seemed to be so anti-biblical that now turns out to produce people who in some sense can understand our concern for unity in the intellectual approach to Scripture.
You're here for these 3 weeks of the Synod discussing these and many other ideas from bishops right across the globe. What are your hopes and expectations? What would you like to see coming out of this meeting?
I think a renewed concern for leading our people into this biblical world, for preaching in a way that doesn't just give the results of historical critical method, which leaves the Bible somewhat in shards, important though it might be as an intellectual labor, an attempt therefore to help us and our people grasp the unity of what God is doing for us and is recorded in the pages of Scripture, then we can perhaps have the biblical renewal that the Second Vatican Council called for. It's already, I think, underway in catechesis to some extent, less so in preaching, a number have said already, and perhaps even less so sometimes in our own letters and teaching, because we tend to look at particular moments of crisis or particular problems. But when the Church does speak of the whole again, from God's perspective, then it's an original voice, and we have the chance, I think, to make a difference in the world. So there are different ways of being relevant. One is not to worry about what's going on immediately, because it passes, as the Holy Father said yesterday, and to try to always see things, they used to talk about sub specie aeternitatis, from the viewpoint of eternity, but really from the viewpoint of God's desire for us.
You're talking about these enormous intellectual challenges, and yet interestingly, after you, we heard from the Archbishop of Manila talking about the need for the scholars, the scripture scholars, to be listening to the voices of people in countries like his own, in developing countries, and the practical, very difficult often situations on the ground. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I think it's similar. I was trying to speak to the difficulties that people have in my country to be at ease with Scripture. So you do start with the context, the lived contexts, if the Scripture is to be a living word. He, of course, is coming from a slightly different context, but I think the concern is what you would find in the hearts of any pastor. Start with the experience of your people, but then you don't cut the Word of God to conform to that, or there's no conversion. You instead bring them into an alternative world that is God's original will. And in that sense, they change. But you have to know where they're coming from. You can't talk to people if you don't love them and if you don't understand the world in which they live, the world in which we all live, although pastors live in a kind of number of worlds, sometimes more ecclesiastical than our people live in.
What kind of interest is there back home? You're away for a long time, 3 weeks from your diocese. What kind of interest is there amongst Catholics in the States for what is going on here during this synod?
I'm not sure that a great deal of interest has been raised yet. We're in the midst of a political campaign, and that pretty much exhausts most people's interests. Now we're in the midst of perhaps the greatest economic crisis since the 1930s, and so that certainly is of enormous interest and importance to fathers of families and to mothers looking for ways to put their children through school. So I think the synod is probably somewhat peripheral to people's interests, but it doesn't have to be immediately of interest. If it does its work, and it primarily in the apostolic exhortations gives the bishops and the priests and religious sisters and teachers something to convert themselves with, in the long run it will have great effect, but I don't know that it will have an enormous impact immediately.
There's also an important ecumenical dimension, isn't there, to this synod? And in the context of the U.S., particularly interesting, perhaps, this focus on Scripture, listening to voices from the Protestant and Orthodox world.
That's certainly true, but for us, the relationship between Scripture and Church is very different than it is for the Protestants, and somewhat similar to the Orthodox, but there are some differences there as well. So Scripture, of course, is something we have in common, but the interpretation of Scripture, if it's private or if it's public in the church under the authority of bishops, is very different. And so what divides us also, or what unites us, also divides us, but that is the challenge of ecumenical relations. Nonetheless, it's good that the Protestant observers are here and that there is some interest in this synod because its subject is Scripture among the Protestants. However, it's Scripture in the church, and immediately we come to our theology of church and our sense of the mystery of faith, which is the church that divides us.
We also heard for the first time on the opening day of the synod a Jewish rabbi discussing the importance of Scripture, the vital role that Scripture plays within the Jewish tradition. What was your reaction to his words?
Well, I was very glad he's here, and he said that too. Far more than what he said, it's his presence that speaks volumes. Much of what he had said I knew from talking to the rabbis I know at home. There's a good Jewish Catholic dialogue in Chicago. So it was not a surprise, but it was good to hear it said, because to some extent it reminded us of a more devotional approach to Scripture that used to be part of Catholic life, and that perhaps we've sometimes lost, ironically, in the midst of the so-called biblical renewal.
My thanks there to Cardinal Francis George, President of the U.S. Catholic Bishops' Conference.